Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How are the families of same-sex couples different from those with a male and a female partner? Opponents of gay and lesbian marriage sometimes cite their interest in protecting children from unconventional family situations and the ridicule they might inspire. And they worry that same-sex unions deny children the benefits of having both a mother and a father to raise them. My guest today has heard those arguments, but he says they bear little resemblance to the happy childhood he and his younger sister spent in Iowa with their lesbian mothers. Zach Walls is a writer, speaker, and civil rights advocate. His new book is My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family. Zach, welcome to Think.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
I want to talk about how you became the face of American children raised by same-sex couples. You were certainly not one of a small number, but you made a speech in early 2011 to the Iowa House Judiciary Committee. Why were you there?
So I was speaking against a constitutional amendment, House Joint Resolution 6, that would have reversed the 2009 Iowa Supreme Court decision that legalized marriage equality in the state. It had been not something that was of contention until Republicans retook the Iowa House in the 2010 elections, and it was one of their top priorities as soon as they took office in early 2011.
What did you want them to know about you and your family?
I think there are a lot of misconceptions out there that there is this some radical difference growing up with same-sex parents, something that you see a lot when these campaigns are waged. Just down in North Carolina, even, that was one of the talking points. Do we want to radically redefine what it means to be a family? And what I was simply trying to point out was, you know, look, when it comes to family, the most important thing is not whether or not you have a male parent and a female parent. The most important thing is whether or not you have a parent or parents who is or are willing to put in the effort that it takes to sculpt little hellions into well-adjusted young adults. I know whether or not they're willing to put in that blood, sweat, toil, and tears. That is what makes a family.
At what point, Zach, did you realize that you had quite a large bully pulpit and that you had an obligation to use it?
It was a kind of a slow realization. The day where the video went viral was 2 days after the hearing, which was on January 31st. This was 2 days later, February 2nd. It was the Wednesday of that week. And it was kind of this rapid progression through this incredible, like, intoxication. I felt like I had just, you know, given a perfect performance and received, like, a perfect ballot on a debate round, and then it was just kind of like, oh my God, this is amazing, and then it was, oh my God, I am in so far over my head. I was like completely overwhelmed, but by the end of the day, I had some folks helping me out and helping me kind of get through and sort through everything, and I realized that I did have this really incredible platform, and it seemed like a pretty, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I don't normally talk about this with my guests, but it might not be apparent to people listening to you. How old are you?
I'm 20.
You're 20. So you were 19 when this all happened.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, did you grow up thinking that this would be something you would ultimately do?
Not at all. You and your listeners can't tell. I'm 6'5". Uh-huh. I'm very, very, very tall. And what I've realized is that having gay parents is a lot like being really tall. I don't think about it until somebody points it out. But as soon as they do, it's like, oh, okay, now I can't stop talking about it.
I loved your example in the book about having gay parents is also like wearing mismatched socks. Nobody can tell having a conversation with you that you've got them on. They may not like the way it looks, but it has nothing to do with the socks on their own feet.
For sure. I think there are a lot of people who think, you know, socks need to be worn a very certain way. There's a very certain convention of how socks should be worn. And that's the way socks have been worn for a very long time. And we wouldn't want to disrupt how this country understands how socks should be worn. However, the fact is that the color of your socks is much less important than, you know, making sure that you're wearing the right kind of socks in any given environment. You know, you want to wear wool socks when it's cold, you know, cotton socks when it's not. So at the end of the day, the important thing is not necessarily, you know, the color of your socks, but whether or not you're wearing the right socks you need to be wearing. And I think the same, I just dragged that metaphor out in a way I didn't necessarily expect to. But, you know, having gay parents is really, you know, not dissimilar. insofar as you can't just shake my hand and have a conversation and magically realize that I have gay parents. It's never happened to me. You know, in my 20 years, not once has anybody come to this independent realization that I do have same-sex parents.
I don't even know what that would look like. I mean, what you would have to do in order for anyone to guess anyway.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure either, but, you know, that doesn't stop, you know, the other side of, you know, people on the other side of this issue from making these proclamations that there's this radical difference, that kids are going to be somehow radically different or harmed or lacking something. And you think that if there was this huge absence or difference, that it would be apparent. Not the case.
Now, you got along fine socially and you had good friends, but you did get teased at times, particularly in elementary and middle school.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, you know, there were really, I think, two distinct phases of that kind of childhood, early adolescence. And I write about this in the book, how from, you know, kindergarten through third grade, the reaction to kids finding out that I had two moms was usually something along the lines of, hey, you have two moms? Hey, I want two moms. and it was, you know, it was very kind of, you know, lighthearted, you know, nobody cared. But then from like fourth grade through like seventh and eighth grade, it was, you have two moms? That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, being different became it was dangerous in a very real way. And I did have a target on my back because of who my parents were. And so there's also, I think, this common argument that is then tossed out that, well, the struggles that these kids have to go through because they have gay parents. I mean, kids, you know, we don't want to put them through that. But what they miss when they make that claim is that the reason that I had to go through the struggles wasn't inherent in the fact that I had a lesbian parents. It was inherent in how lesbian parents are perceived by those very same people, right? It's when Rick Santorum or Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich or whomever stands up and says there is something wrong with gay parents. By saying that, they create something wrong with having gay parents. It's a very important distinction.
Can you tell us a little bit about your moms and their relationship and how they divide out the work and the things that they always agree on and the things that they disagree on? Can you sort of describe their marriage for me?
Sure. Let's see here. Terry, my biological mom, is probably a little bit more stern, a little bit more of the disciplinarian. She's a physician, internal medicine physician. And she was actually single when she conceived me back in 1990, and she met Jackie when I was four. So in some senses, Jackie was a step-parent, so to speak, for a little while, insofar as she entered the picture after birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was less true for how my sister perceives her, because Zebby, my younger sister, was only one when they met, so she doesn't really have any recollection of a time before Jackie. Jackie's a nurse practitioner. She's, you know, a little bit more lighthearted. She would usually be the one who made breakfast in the morning, and would be the one who kind of got the groceries. She's really good at, you know, remembering things. Terry's very absent-minded. She's a brilliant medical doctor, but, you know, a lot of kind of those day-to-day kind of chores of life are not necessarily her forte.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to gift giving, Jackie was almost always, I talk about that in the book, actually, how Jackie and Terry were very different when it came to gift giving. And Jackie was always more of the gift giver of the family. Terry was the one who would, generally speaking, be a little bit more inclined to let me go over and like spend the night at a friend's house. Depending on whether or not I had my chores done, Jackie would probably more frequently say I couldn't. So if I had my chores done, I'd be fine asking Jackie, but if I didn't have my chores done, I'd probably, it kind of goes back to that whole absent-minded thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'd ask Perry. But yeah, that was in a very brief moment, a little bit of a sketch of the family.
Well, I know that you didn't grow up with, you know, a heterosexual couple of parents to compare this to, but it doesn't really sound so different than any heterosexual marriage that I know about.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people try and get hung up on, or just accidentally, not necessarily trying, but they get hung up on the fact that there wasn't, you know, necessarily a man and a woman. And people try to make a big deal about that, which is, you know, kind of interesting. I think that is kind of generally waning a little bit insofar as, you know, people understanding that, you know, the biggest differences between people aren't about, you know, gender or sex. They're about, you know, personality differences. Not all men are alike and not all women are alike. And that was something that I certainly learned in a very real way growing up, obviously, with two female parents, that, you know, there were some very real differences between Jackie and Terry. And if they were two real differences between, you know, my moms, then they're both women. Clearly not all women were the same. And the same obviously is true with men. You know, I certainly love watching the Green Bay Packers play, you know, on Sunday, but I'm not a huge baseball fan,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there are a lot of very real differences, no doubt about it. But those differences are not inherent in being a man or a woman. They're inherent in just being a person.
My guest is writer, speaker, and civil rights advocate Zach Walls. We're talking about his new memoir, My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family. We'll come back to our conversation with Zach in a couple of minutes. If you'd like to join us, you can call 1-800-933-5372. If you would like to read a copy of Zach's book and also support KERA now, it's a perfect time to get in touch with us. You can call 1-888-694-6931 or go online to KERA.org, make a contribution of $120 or more, and you can become the next supporting member of the station and receive a copy of My Two Moms as your thank you gift. Jeff Whittington joins us now. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. You know, it seems like the hill keeps getting higher and higher, but we do have a challenge underway today. A longtime listener and fan of KERA has contributed $2,000 to challenge you, listeners of KERA, to contribute at least $29,000 before 2 p.m. today. We are hoping we can meet this challenge and honor this generous gift with a gift of your own. We hope you will respond by calling 888-694-6931 or clicking and joining at KERA.org, because we've got about $24,600 to go, and it's 12:18 right now.
Yes, yeah, so a little under 2 hours.
Less than 2 hours to do it. So please call 888-694-6931. Of course, the big hill is the overall goal, and this will really help us get there that much faster if you call or contribute online at KERA.org.
Your personal news and information service is KERA. You know that there is no other station that covers the wide array of topics that we do, gives them the time to really unfold and play out. We're really excited to have Zach Walls on today. Mm-hmm. Lots of people saw the little clip or a partial clip of his appearance before the Iowa House Judiciary Committee.
Millions of people.
So this may be ringing a bell for you. If you've been interested to learn more about him, the book is really very interesting and written so that, you know, even if you haven't made up your mind on this issue, it will be of interest to you.
It is a pretty politically hot button issue this year. You know, we heard the vice president speaking about it. And then his office said, well, those are his opinions, not necessarily the opinions of the administration. However, with some of the primaries and elections that have been being reported on, and being held in the last, yesterday, the president has come out and said, you know, he's starting to create a position, and this is going to be an issue that's talked about on our air, on our show, and across the country the rest of this election year. So we're really thrilled to have Zach as our guest today. He's really a great speaker, and we're really, really honored to have him. We would love to be honored to have your support. And we'll send you a copy of Zach's book, My Two Moms, when you join with a $120 contribution. Just call 888-694-6931. Help us meet this challenge.
$24,630 and something dollars left to raise before 2 o'clock today to receive this $2,000 challenge. Your contribution now will get us that much closer, whether you want to become a Friends member at the $1,500 level, or you just want to do $10 a month and receive a copy of Zach Wall's new book, or you want to do something in between. Your support now is vital at 1-888-694-6931 or online at kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. You can enrich your career with new certificate programs in financial planning, web design, graphic design, and paralegal studies. And you can learn more at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is writer, speaker, and civil rights advocate Zach Walls. His new book is called My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family. Join the conversation at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think at kera.org. Zach, what happened when it came time for your moms to discuss sex with you?
That's a good question, Chris. There were, you know, my moms have, from the very beginning of my life, been very upfront and honest with me in all aspects of our own family life. You know, from when I was born, you know, from even when I was just nursing, obviously way before I could understand, my mom Terry was explaining how I was conceived, you know, kind of the whole thing. That was, you know, kind of an important motif in my own education at home. And so when it came time to discuss sex, my parents were very frank with me. I think it was Terry was the one who sat me down the first time to discuss the birds and the bees. And if I remember correctly, she had, you know, an illustrated book, obviously not one that was explicit, and just kind of, you know, talked me through what, you know, sex meant. And I think she mentioned at one point that it hurt a lot until you were 25. she was, you know, she
mostly honest.
She brought a, you know, both a frankness, but also, you know, a kind of paternal sense of, you know, got to be careful and got to be, you know, responsible to the situation.
Well, I thought she had a really clever strategy for getting you to really think through why it's not a good idea to become a teenage parent.
Yeah, that was a little bit later, what the episode that you're referring to, when I was in high school at this point, and my little sister was just getting started in elementary school, or not elementary school, excuse me, junior high. And she started kind of talking about Zebby, my sister, and you know, talking about making sure that she wanted to make sure that Zebby wasn't going to be doing anything stupid, you know, and then kind of flipped it on me like 180 after I was like, yeah, don't worry, Zebby's not going to be an idiot. Let's go, oh, wait, she's not talking about Zebby. She's talking about me. That was you know, kind of a brilliant move on her part.
Who are you writing this book for?
There were really two audiences that I had in mind when I wrote the book, but you know, first and foremost, I wanted to, you know, so the book is dedicated to my sister, mm-hmm. Zebby, and I was, you know, I meant that personally and literally for her, but also, you know, a little bit more broadly for other kids who have same-sex parents and who have to go through the challenges, you know, that the other side kind of insists on putting us through, still to this day, and you know, I think it's very important to, as a peer, have this conversation and to say, look, this is who we are as a community. I also make clear in the book that, you know, I am only one person and I am only, you know, privy to one experience, and this is only my own recollection and my own thoughts. But I do think it is important for us as a community of kids who have same-sex parents to have a voice when we have been discussed so much and with such little regard by so many people in American politics over the last 20 years. I think it, you know, there were really three key messages in my mind for other kids with same-sex parents that I wanted to communicate. And the first was obviously that you're not alone. There are, in fact, 2 million kids in this country being raised by LGBT parents. The second was that you are all right, even if the movie was only so-so. You know, the kids are, in fact, doing quite well. And you know, they are okay. And then finally, even though it's a message that we've heard a lot over the last year and a half, 2 years, it's a message that bears repeating, and that's, it gets better.
I want to ask you this because, you know, your speech in Iowa was so well received and really made a huge impact with a lot of people. For whatever reason, and I realize I'm generalizing here, Americans who oppose same-sex marriage seem to have greater objections to gay men than they do to lesbian women.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if your two moms were two dads, and if you happened to be gay yourself, you would have the same platform you have right now?
That's a good question. In the video, I don't discuss my own sexual orientation. Although I think it is, you know, you'd have to stereotype and generalize to come to this observation, but I think that after watching the video, it's probably pretty clear that I am straight. There are a lot of people, though, who are maybe like on the fence or watch that video and do walk away thinking, oh, he has gay parents, he has to be gay. It's a very common misconception, yeah, for sure. That, you know, if you have, and it's not necessarily like malicious or hateful at all. It's simply a misconception that is very prevalent that if you have gay parents, you will be gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that overlooks the fact that, you know, straight parents have a lot more gay babies than gay parents. But, you know, there you go. And so, you know, as to whether or not if I'd have this platform, if I was myself gay, you know, I'm not really sure. I think that there would probably be a lot of people who would say, aha, look, it's proof that the gay parents raise gay children. And moreover, the reason that that's a concern at all, and the reason nobody loses their minds and says straight parents are to blame when Ellen DeGeneres or Neil Patrick Harris comes out, is this misconception and this myth, and in fact, in many cases, this lie that homosexuality is a choice, that people choose this alternative lifestyle or what have you, overlooking the fact that it is a biologically, you know, denoted characteristic. It's been observed and documented in over 500 different animal species. There's an incredible book by a Canadian biologist called Biological Exuberance, and he just kind of walks through all the different species in which homosexuality has been observed. And then as to the second question as to whether or not I have, if I had two gay dads, whether this would be, you know, the same kind of platform, I'm not really sure. I think you're definitely right that there is, and this is something I actually mentioned at the very end of the book about how I had this experience with a man who said that two mans together is very aggressive, in my perception, and two women not as much. And you know, I think part of that is rooted in the idea that women are better parents. They're kind of the more, they do more of the care, they do more of the nurturing, or what have you. And that can sometimes be true. Sometimes it's not true. There are, in fact, lots of single dads in this country, and there are lots of you know, two gay dads raising kids as well. So it's hard to say one way or the other how it would have been perceived. But I think probably one of the big reasons it did have the level of success it had was that as a man, there are a lot of people who think, well, you have to have a dad in order to become a man. And I was proof that, no, you don't need a dad to become a man. You need, you know, good parents to give you the values you need to be a good person. And I think there were a lot of people who were impressed by that.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak with Mark in Dallas. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Chris. How are you? Once again, a timely subject. And thank you, Zach, for standing up on your cause. I just want to make a couple comments, and I'll hang up and listen. You know, marriage is not about sexual orientation. Marriage is about love, commitment, and duty. And the sexual orientation of parents has no bearing on the orientation of their kids. I was raised by heterosexual parents. I'm gay. My other two siblings are heterosexual. So I don't see, I think that's the big fear. Somehow we're going to be choosing to be gay. Well, no one chooses to be heterosexual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Mark, it's a great point. I think a lot of people over, you know, it's not a rational conversation when you have these dialogues for the most part, and I don't mean that in a mean-spirited way at all. Simply, people don't really sit down and give this the amount of thought that they need to, because it's a very uncomfortable topic for a lot of people. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of issues in American culture that combine politics, religion, and sex, and anal sex to boot, into one, you know, kind of messy political topic. But the fact is, none of us, gay, straight, bisexual, whatever, choose our attractions. Nobody does. If they do, I have yet to meet a person who is able to control his or her, you know, physical attraction at a whim. You know, I suspect that if that was the case, that we could all control our attractions, which is what sexual orientation is, that the divorce rate in this country would not be approaching 50%. You know, people could choose to be attracted to their spouses, and that would be it. I know Newt Gingrich would still be on wife number one, and there wouldn't have been an impeachment trial during the 90s.
Talk about this. We spoke to a memoirist named Cambry Cruz a few months ago, and she was born of two deaf parents. And although she is hearing, she felt as if she was born into that community and was really a full-fledged member of it. Do you feel like a member of the gay community by virtue of having two lesbian mothers?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris, and that's something that is a difficult question to answer. Identity politics are always kind of messy. Simply because when it comes to those communities, you know, you want to define your peer group and you want to make sure that your peers are, in fact, similar to you, mm-hmm. and your peers are, in a very large way, how you define yourself. So, you know, I do consider myself a member of the LGBT community. I mean, the last thing that any of us want to do is add another letter to the acronym. but I do think it is very important for the community to recognize the place that the children of gay parents, you know, whether or not the kids are themselves queer identified or not, it is important to recognize, I think, our place in the community, because there is no doubt, I think, that it is a community into which we're born. It's a community that is very important to us, and it is a place that feels like home.
My guest is writer, speaker, and civil rights advocate Zach Walls. His new book is called My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family. Welcome back to our discussion with Zach in a couple of minutes. Take more of your calls at 1-800-933-5372. You can also reach out via email to think@kera.org. Right now, we are taking another break for our spring membership campaign, urging you to call 1-888-694-6931 or to go online to kera.org. Make your contribution in any amount. If you want to make a contribution of $120, we can thank you with a copy of Zach Wall's new memoir, My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family. Jeff Whittington is here now, senior producer of Think. Hello again, Jeff.
Hi, Chris. We are working on a challenge as well today. We started sometime this morning with a challenge of $2,000 from a longtime listener and fan of KERA. To challenge you to contribute at least $29,000, it says on or before 2 p.m., but hopefully before 2 p.m. on this sheet here. Well, right now we're at $23,315 left to go. We started the hour close to $25,000, so we've made some great progress thanks to anyone who's called, but we'd like to thank you. When you call 888-694-6931, that's 888-694-6931. Or click and join right now. Do it right now at kera.org.
There comes a time when you realize that if the things you want to exist in your community, in your home, in your world are going to happen, you have to take action. And it's exactly that way for public radio. We would not just be here. We're not a self-sustaining entity if we didn't have contributions from people who listen, who believe public radio is important, who recognize it is unlike anything else. We wouldn't be here. Your money makes it possible at 1-888-694-6931 or at kera.org. Jeff, I was thinking about this the other day. If you recognize that KERA is different and you want it to remain different from other kinds of radio stations, you have to support it.
Yeah, not that we're planning a shift to the for-profit or commercial model. The station is licensed as a not-for-profit by the FCC, but that's why we're able to run the kind of programs we do, and you don't hear those kinds of commercial messages that you hear on other stations. You do hear corporate messages because we do have corporate support from corporations and foundations. They underwrite our programming, but we for the large the lion's share comes directly from you and from contributions like people like Charles Waldrop in Dallas and Tanya Bloom in Denton. We also heard from John Mills in Haltom City and Greg Sims in McKinney. Thank you so much to each of you. It is different. This is a different place on the dial. It's a different kind of a media presentation, and you love it already. We're just trying to convince you to help pay for it.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number, or you can go online to kera.org. It's wonderful to have a place where ideas are discussed and expressed. The show is called Think, not because we want you to think like us, but we just want to make you think. We enjoy it ourselves. I love talking to people from a wide variety of backgrounds with a wide variety of ideas about the world and just allowing them to sort of take us through through how they've arrived at their conclusions. I think that's very valuable. I think it's more valuable, quite frankly, to intelligent people like you to just be presented with ideas and then make up your own mind than it is for Jeff or me to tell you exactly the way that you should perceive a certain topic. There are lots of radio shows, lots of radio hosts for whom this is the reason that they exist on the air. We just don't want to do it that way. It's okay if somebody else wants to do that, but here we respect your intelligence enough to listen to ideas that that you may agree with, that you may disagree with, that you may never have heard before, and make up your mind on your own.
Well, even if we wanted to do it, we couldn't do it here because
I'm a terrible persuader.
That's not what this is all about. This station's all about you. It's not about personalities on the air. It's not about pleasing the advertiser. It's about you. And what you get from public broadcasting, what you get from public radio is our number one priority. That's why we don't have any problem coming to you and asking you to support the station, asking you to directly send money to the station. I don't know if you, Chris, have heard this Ira Glass spot that we've been running where he says, you know, you already contribute about $208 per adult citizen of the United States per year to TV and radio stations by paying for products that are advertised on those stations.
That's what they earn from essentially from your listening to those places.
Yeah, from you. The companies pay for advertising and then they raise the prices of their products or they use profits from the sales of their products to pay for that advertising. And who gives them the profits from the sales of their products? Those of us who buy the products. So the average is about $208 per adult United States citizen per year. So that's what you're already spending to fund radio stations, as Ira says, whose guts you probably hate, who you would never listen to. And then you listen to this station, but you won't give any money to KERA. But this is a station you love. You love KERA's guts. So why not support it affordably with a call to 888-694-6931. You don't have to give us $208. You can, but you don't have to.
And you know, lest you think, well, the government is taking that money and giving it. We learned this in a show recently. What is it, like $1.10?
Yeah, it's very little.
Of tax money on a, you know, whatever, $40,000 salary or something. So
yeah, it's very, very little.
If you assume that your money is already going to KERA, a very, very small amount is going to public broadcasting overall. So consider contributing more to offset the cost of your listening and to make sure that good radio stays on the air for you. We have thank you copies of Zach Wall's new book, My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family, available at the $120 contribution level or above. 1-888-694-6931 is the number. KERA.org is the website. And we have $22,010 left to raise.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. You can enrich your career with new certificate programs in financial planning, web design, graphic design, and paralegal studies. And you can learn more at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is writer, speaker, and civil rights advocate Zach Walls. His new book is called My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family. You can join us at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. So, Zach, threaded throughout the book are stories of family dinners and of your participation in sports and going to church with your moms. And also, the book is actually organized according to the Boy Scout motto. And I want you to address that simply because the Boy Scouts of America have been criticized for not universally always having a very tolerant attitude toward homosexuality.
Not only is it not universal, it's not actually particularly frequent when that's the case. And so the book is organized around, there are 14 chapters. The first chapter is titled Be Prepared, which is the Scout motto. The last chapter is Do a Good Turn Daily, which is the Scout slogan. And then the middle 12 chapters are each named after one of the 12 tenets of the Scout law, which is the Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And so that was a very intentional decision on our part for two reasons. First, there were really two, you know, big parts of my life growing up. The first was obviously my own family, and the second was my time in the Boy Scouts. As an Eagle Scout who, you know, joined way back in the day as a Tiger Cub, the very lowest bottom of the totem pole, climbed all the way up. It was an enormous part of my own personal development. And so we thought, what better way to talk about my family than through a prism of the other major component of my life, which was the Scouts. And so the Boy Scouts of America do maintain this federal policy, this national policy, that states that, quote-unquote, avowed homosexuals are not allowed to be adult leaders in the organization. And unfortunately, it's a policy that to this day is still on the books. And it's something, hopefully, that will be changing in the relatively near future, because it still is implemented on a regular basis. We saw just about 3 weeks ago a lesbian dead mother from Ohio, a woman named Jennifer Tyrell, forced to resign from being a dead mother in her son's Cub Scout pack because of her sexual orientation. And you know, quite frankly, the most disappointing part of that story was the fact that now her son, this awesome little guy who I've actually met, a little guy named Cruz, is now not going to have the opportunity to be a part of the scouting experience. And for me, it was incredibly rewarding and very enriching.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Stuart in Dallas. Hi, Stuart.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Zach, I'm a big fan and a fellow Redditor, and I was wondering, as a creative person, if you could talk a little bit about SOPA and CISPA and all the anti-piracy bills and how they would affect you as someone who benefits from.
Yeah, well, thank you for the call, Stuart. Creation. Always good to hear from a fellow Redditor. And what Stuart is referring to is some of the legislation that this country has had to kind of put up with at the national level. About this, some of these tools or legislation that would try to control the free exchange of information on the internet. And the reason that that's particularly relevant to this story is obviously that my video was widely shared on the site YouTube. This political, it's not a political. It's just a video sharing website. And those kind of, you know, these bills that threaten a free and open internet really do make, you know, would make stories like this much more difficult to actually happen, because by constricting the flow of information and you know, sharing videos like this, theoretically it would be possible to clamp this like right in the bud, and you know, the video, instead of having 20 million hits, might have 500.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone to Steve in Dallas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Chris. You're squeezing another pledge out of me this membership drive.
Well, wonderful. Thank you for that.
Zach, you're so well-spoken. You're so informed. It's obvious that your parents had a focus on your education. Can you tell me what their level of education is? And I'll take my answer off the phone.
Thanks for your call.
Terry, my biological mom, has an MBA and an MD, and I believe that she has a bachelor's in fine arts from Drake University in Iowa. Jackie has a master's in nursing and an undergraduate degree from the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
So what are their dreams for you? Do they now want you to run for Congress?
There are a lot of people who want me to run for Congress. It's something that I think... I mean, obviously, that's going to be a long, long ways away. I'm 20 years old.
You have to be 25, right?
You have to be 25 for the U.S. House, 30 for the Senate. Mm-hmm. And so that would be a very long ways away. And I think it's a possibility. I wasn't studying political science when all this happened. I was studying civil environmental engineering. And the environment really has been my biggest passion since I was just a young guy. You know, growing up with the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts, I spent a lot of time outdoors. Values of conservation and preservation are both very important to me. And that's really where I think I'd probably find the most satisfaction. That'd be the most rewarding career, I think, for me personally. So many people have encouraged me to run for office that it's not something that I'm going to rule out and say, you know, immediately that, you know, it's something that I'll never consider. But it is something that I think would come later on in the career and certainly not anytime soon.
What have you learned about engaging in conversations with people who absolutely think that your perspective is wrong and that what your moms did by bringing you into the world and raising you together was wrong?
Well, you know, first of all, I would hope that they would be willing to, you know, agree with me that it's better that I exist with, you know, a quote-unquote flawed family structure or whatever, you know, however they want to describe it, than that I don't exist at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think usually most people, you know, especially because these are often folks who are pro-life, can kind of nod along and agree with that and say, well, okay, maybe that's true. And the reason that that's very important kind of step to make, is that it does, you know, mean that they have to acknowledge the fact that kids like me are going to exist, and that's a good thing. And then second, you know, when you're having these conversations, it's very important to be courteous and to be respectful and to try and understand where the other person is coming from. More often than not, the opposition to same-sex marriage and same-sex parenting is rooted in a fundamental misunderstanding, as we mentioned earlier in the conversation, about, you know, what it means to be a gay person. This idea of choice is still very prevalent, even though, you know, none of the peer-reviewed scientific literature today supports that hypothesis. In fact, it's all been very systematically disproven. Starting in the 70s, we really started to see this progression, and now today there's a consensus, a near unanimous consensus. There's always going to be a few outliers, but these are people who are not taken seriously by anybody in the academic community. And once you can, you know, kind of move beyond the fact that, you know, it's not a choice, then you can start explaining that, you know, at the end of the day, there are, in fact, many, many more similarities than they are differences. You know, I explained that my moms are big Green Bay Packers fans, that they change the batteries in their smoke detectors, that they go to the grocery store, we go to church, you know, they garden on Sundays, go for bike rides, that kind of thing. And I think slowly you can paint this picture of a family that in 99.95% of respects is similar to other American families. And once you can create that bridge and build that relationship, the rest tends to follow. The important difference, and this is something that you were actually mentioning just kind of during the fundraising plug there, you have to think, and you have to be willing to consider a new perspective, and you have to be willing to sit down and have this conversation. I think a lot of times we can kind of get caught up in some of the fear and the isolation that some people want to preach, but at the end of the day, when you embrace, you know, actually getting to know people and the values of love and commitment and mutual respect, this is actually a very straightforward issue.
Do you have a favorite story of someone who's come to you and said, I was not prepared to agree with you, but I do"?
Yeah, there was a Facebook message I received back in the very kind of beginning of this whole thing, and it was one of those messages that really did push me to write the book. From a man my age, a year or two older probably, who was just 1 week away from shipping out to Afghanistan. And he wrote in this message that he'd been raised in the Deep South, been raised, quote-unquote, anti-gay, that he had been opposed to same-sex marriage, and at the time, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, had just been repealed. So he was very anxious about the prospect of serving with an openly gay serviceman. And he said after watching that three-minute video, and not only had his mind on marriage equality been, you know, done a complete 180, and he found himself supporting same-sex marriage. But, you know, his fears about Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed had been calmed. And so to hear that at the very beginning was it was incredible. You know, I've met all kinds of amazing people. You know, being on The Daily Show was amazing. Meeting Ellen DeGeneres was really cool. But at the end of the day, it really is, you know, Facebook messages like that, other conversations that I've had, that are, you know, the reason I'm out here and the reason I'm out sharing the story.
The new book by Zach Walls is My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family. Zach, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to all of you listening this hour, all of you who have called and written in to participate in the show. Thanks especially to those of you who are supporting members of KERA. We cannot have conversations like this and like the one we have planned for the next hour with H.W. Brands about Aaron Burr or about any of the other subjects and topics that we cover on the show. We couldn't have it without your support. Your money makes it happen. Some of you can give a little bit of money. Some of you can give a lot of money. But a donation right now make sure that quality radio will continue to exist for North Texas in your community. Go online now to make your pledge at kera.org or make a contribution at 1-888-694-6931. Jeff Whittington is back in studio now. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. We would love to hear from you. We are working on a challenge. It started this morning. A longtime listener and fan of KERA has contributed $2,000 to challenge you to contribute $29,000 in total on or before 2 p.m. Help us meet this challenge and honor this generous gift with a gift of your own. We're at about $22,010 left to raise in this challenge period. So call 888-694-6931. That's 1-888-694-6931. or click and join online right now at kera.org. This will help us get within, I think, striking distance of the overall membership campaign goal, hopefully in the next day or so.
You know, we used to talk all the time about how much everybody spent on coffee, and we finally laid off that. If you want to spend money on coffee drinks every day, it's fine. But it occurred to me yesterday, Jeff, in the summer months, I like to stop by Sonic and buy that fancy ice they have. You know, you can buy a big bag of the crunchy Sonic ice. It's like $2, okay? $2 plus tax. And I thought, gosh, you know, a year's worth of Sonic ice, it feels like nothing, right? You stop in there once a week or so, and a year's worth of Sonic ice is just such a treat. I could easily live without my Sonic ice. I could not live without my KERA.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Really?
I really don't. It's like crushed ice or something?
It's kind of a... Some people out there who know it know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's really good for... I like to crunch ice. My dentist says I shouldn't, so this is better. This is far too much me in this conversation right now. Now, the point is, it's a couple dollars a week for something that is a treat, but not vital to my life. A few more dollars a week for a KERA membership, in my opinion, is absolutely worth it.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about all the different things you spend money on to stay informed, but, you know, what about entertaining? You get entertained by the radio station and by programs. And, of course, this last hour was a riveting conversation. We've got a really great conversation coming up next with one of our regular
favorite guests.
Yeah, who we've never had in studio. We've talked to him in his office at UT Austin
This is the first time he's been in the building.
Professor
H.W.
Brands is here for the next hour. And, you know, it's going to be fascinating. You know, we bring you this every day. We're just as fascinated as you are by these guests that we're honored and privileged to be able to bring to you and to your radio show. But if you think about, you know, when you go out on the weekend and maybe you treat some friends to dinner, or maybe you treat some friends to a round of drinks, if you would just earmark the same amount. Don't cut back. Don't deny yourself
but
anything.
Treat your community as some KERA.
Exactly. And don't deny yourself public radio. We want you to listen. We want you to enjoy it, but we also want you to help support it. And our goal by 2 p.m. is pretty daunting. $22,010 in this challenge. You know, that's going to help us get to a place where we can wrap this drive up as soon as possible.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number. You can also go online to kera.org. We do have copies of Zach Wall's book, My Two Moms, Lessons of Love, Strength, and What Makes a Family. Zach Walls, of course, is the young man who became famous quite literally overnight in January of last year when he spoke before the Iowa House Judiciary Committee about Iowa's consideration of overturning the laws that made gay and lesbian marriage legal in the state. He spoke very eloquently, and as it turns out, the law has not been overturned in that state. Whether you think that was a great thing or a bad thing, or you're not sure, the book is really an interesting portrait of life within at least this one family of two lesbian moms and two kids.
It's a great read. It's yours with our thanks when you join the station with a contribution of at least $120. Call 888-694-6931 or go to kera.org and make your contribution. We did hear from the Rollins Gilliland with a comment.
Thank you, Rollins.
Chris, and he says today's outstanding Articulate Think interview with Zach Walls is still another reason to support KERA in its current pledge drive. Well, thank you, Rollins. Really appreciate that vote of confidence from you. And, you know, if you appreciate the show, if you've made your contribution, if you can get out there and help spread the word on your social media network or Twitter or whatever it is you use, we'd appreciate that because we also would like to wrap this drive up as soon as possible, you know, so we can get back to planning shows that you want to listen to, that you want to participate in every single day.
1-888-694-6931 is the number, or kera.org. Looking for $22,010 by 2 o'clock to meet our latest goal with a $2,000 challenge attached. Here's the thing. I don't have $22,010 to contribute. Jeff, I'm guessing that you don't. You may not have it either, but you might have $110. Or you might have
$1,000
or $1,500. You might have $50 that you can make a contribution with right now and get us closer to this goal. And regardless, this is money well spent from your perspective because you spend a lot of time with this radio station. You are invested in the quality, the technical quality of the sound. You're invested in the content of the station. You're invested in the journalistic integrity. Invest just a little bit of your money to keep it, answer it. answerable only to you.
Of course, if you'd like to join at the $22,000
membership level, be our guest. We would love it. We will read your name.
There'd be a great mug. I think you get a really great mug or some kind of great.
You know what? If someone gives $22,000 right now, Jeff and I will have a mug custom made at our own expense. We will color it for you.
So says Chris Boyd. No, you can make that contribution at any level, whether it's $22, $220, or $22,000 right now at 888-694-6931 or go online to kera.org and do your part there.
Your contribution does make a difference. Remember, you can receive a copy of Zach Wall's new book, My Two Moms, or any of the books that we've talked about in the past couple of weeks on the station. Just call in 1-888-694-6931 or kera.org. Thanks.